Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
Welcome, fellow infidels, to another episode of America Akbar. I'm your host, Gadi Edelman, and with me I've got my... I can't thank you enough this week, Reese. I have been, like, away from the computer and away from the world, and I've been really super busy, and I've got to let everybody know everything we're going to talk about tonight. Reese has done all the uploading and all the research, and thank you, Reese's here.
Oh, well, you know.
What do you mean,
you got to do what you got to do, right?
Oh, my gosh. All right, wait. Let me give her a round of applause.
You're so nice.
All right. Now, that was interesting. I didn't get to do that noise. Did you hear that, Reese?
Yeah, I did.
That was kind of weird.
Guess they weren't done.
I don't know where
coming
from. That's really bizarre.
You got to do what you got to do, right?
Oh, wow. It's like bleeding back
or
something. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know.
That's very bizarre. There's an echo. All right, but no big deal. It might be on your telephone, Reese. Do you want to call back?
Did you hear that, Reese?
No, I'm muted. My computer's muted, so it's not like I have any sound coming out of it.
All right, well, we'll deal with it for now and try and figure it out as we go on. All right, not a big deal. Anyway, the call-in number tonight is 347-857-1380, and I apologize for the bleed over. I'm not sure if that's because I'm trying to do a recording or what the story is, but hopefully if...
No, I'm muted. My computer's
yes,
muted.
Yes, and it's a delay, too. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, and it's got delayed.
Now I'm trying to figure it out as we go on. All right, not a big deal.
Do you have a window open?
Two,
might have it on.
5 seconds. Four.
It's repeating itself.
One.
All right, we're definitely having some technical difficulties here. I don't know why it's doing that.
Hello.
Very bizarre. Welcome, fellow infidels, to another episode of America Akbar. I'm your host, Gadi Edelman, and with me I've got... I can't thank you enough this week, Reese.
This is very bizarre, Reese.
Away from the computer and away from the world.
Hey, Doc, if you
really
have any idea how to fix
and
this,
I've got
let
to let
me
everybody know everything we're going to talk about tonight. Reese has done all the uploading and all
very
the research,
weird.
And thank you, Reese's here.
Oh, well, you know.
All right, Reese, can you still hear me over all this? Oh, my gosh. All right, wait.
I'm
going to
try and refresh
the
screen, Reese.
Okay, try.
There we go.
You're so nice.
All right. Now, that was interesting. I didn't ask it to do that noise. Did you hear that, Reese?
Yeah,
I did.
I'm
Paul Hockman. That was
I'm Katie Linendahl, and we are technology experts. And one of our jobs
done.
Is really to review
know,
all the
from.
Latest
really
in technology,
bizarre.
And gadgets,
very
and innovation across
oh,
the world.
Oh, wow. It's
for example,
we need to
Scotty.
Yes.
Do you have a Blog Talk Radio screen open that's not the switchboard?
I've got all of them. Should I be on your telephone, Reese? Do you want
to
call back in? Did you hear that, Reese?
Let me try. Yeah, I'll call back. My computer's muted, so it's not like I have any sound coming out of it.
I think we finally fixed it.
All right, well, we'll deal with it now. I'm trying to figure it out.
Somebody's got a window open.
All right, not a big deal.
Very bizarre. Anyway, the call-in number tonight is 347-857-1380, and I apologize for the bleed over. I'm not sure if that's because I'm trying to do a recording or what the story is. But, hopefully, if...
I'm muted. My
yes, I don't know what it's going on. Very bizarre.
I've got everything
yeah,
down.
It's got delayed.
There it goes. Okay, Reese, can you still hear me?
Going in circles.
All right, can you still hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, whatever it was is finally done. We only wasted 4 minutes.
Gosh, I don't know about you, but I felt like I was in Groundhog Day.
That was very bizarre. I don't know what the heck happened there. That was beyond bizarre. Okay, not a biggie. Let's start all over again.
Just docked in there, starting all over again.
Just so everybody knows, evidently Blog Talk has been having problems, and it may not have been us, because there was a note on when we logged in last night saying that they were having some problems with their switchboard. So that may have been a switchboard issue. I apologize. Hopefully it won't happen again. It is 2 days before Christmas, one day before Christmas Eve, and we've wasted about 4 or 5 minutes. Our call-in number is 347-857-1380. It all started when I was giving Reese a round of applause, trying to thank her for everything she did this week. So,
thank you, darling.
Yeah, well, without you, I would not have been able to get all this together. I basically gave Reese the ideas and told her, Google this, Google that, and let's get all these stories together, and we've got a bunch of stuff for you tonight. But, Reese, I promised you a surprise, if I remember right. Do you recall?
I'm afraid no, but yeah, what is it? He couldn't tell me. An hour ago he tells me, I have a surprise for you. I'm not good with surprises.
You're not good with surprises? What does that mean?
No, I'm not patient.
You're not patient. All right, wait a minute. Let me see if I can get this silly thing to come up because, see, now I was shutting down so many windows.
You can't find anything now?
Yeah, I may have lost the whole thing. No, I wanted to play this. I wanted to play this for you, Reese. This is because it's going to be Christmas
nice.
In a couple of days.
I have a favor to ask of you, infidels. What?
I love it.
Sing with me. Oh, Christmas caroling? Oh yes, I love the Christmas carol. Like, what do you sing? Bin Laden is coming to town. Oh holy crap! Oh, holy crap, I think I blew my foot off. And then my favorite, Silent Night. Thank you. And then I got another one, Jingle Bombs. Would you like me to sing Jingle Bombs? You can sing? Oh, yes. Hey, what the heck? Wait, I need some music. Music. I have guitar guy. Guitar guy! Guitar guy! Come up, please!
Oh, this is too funny.
Gotta use your imagination on the visuals.
Oh, listen to that. Backstage, he was doing drugs. I know he was.
This is Jeff Dunham with Ahmed the Dead Terrorist.
Guitar guy.
Exactly.
I know you rock and roll.
A must see.
And thanks for dressing like crap for my show. So sad. He don't know he does drugs. Okay, let's hear what you got, guitar guy. You racist bastard. Is that what you think I like? Hey, you know that Xbox game, Guitar Hero? I kick your ass. Okay, maybe at Halo. All right, Ahmed, so you have the song? Yes, Jingle Bombs. Okay, guitar guy, give me my note. It sounds like a car wreck. Do that again. Be quiet. You got it? I got it. Oh, dashing through the sand with a bomb strapped to my back. I have a nasty plan for Christmas in Iraq. I got through checkpoint A, but not through checkpoint B. That's when I got shot in the ass by the U.S. military. Oh, jingle bombs, mine blew up, you see. Where are all the virgins that Bin Laden promised me? Oh, jingle bombs, your soldiers shot me dead. The only thing that I have left is this towel upon my head. I used to be a man, but every time I cough, thanks to Uncle Sam, I'm no falling on. My longing days are done. I need to find some work. Perhaps it would be much safer as a convenience store night clerk. Oh, jingle bongs, I think I got screwed. Don't laugh at me because I'm dead or I kill you.
All righty, and that was Jeff Dunham with Bombs with Ahmed the Dead Terrorist. That was my Christmas present for you.
That's like the best present. Thank you, Gotti.
You're welcome. We got
to
laugh.
You know how hard it is not to laugh, though?
That is a great bit. If anybody hasn't seen it, you got to go to YouTube and just Google on, or search in YouTube under the name Jingle Bombs. It's well worth the 4 minutes.
Thank you. That's nice.
You are welcome. Since he was talking about convenience stores and being a store clerk, for those who didn't see last week's article, or I should say Monday's article, it's still this week. What was the name of that article I just did, Reese? I don't even remember the name of it.
You want me to remember the name? Small Town USA.
Henderson, North Carolina. You know, we've got this stuff going on all over the country, and if you guys didn't read Small Town USA, you've got to go there and read this because you don't get much smaller than Henderson, North Carolina. But as I wrote in my article, I spent a week there one day. Henderson, North Carolina is an extremely small town of about 15,000 people, and there was a joint raid about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago in Henderson. And that raid consisted of four or five federal agencies, two state North Carolina agencies, and a couple of local law enforcement agencies. Unmarked vehicles, a helicopter, the whole spiel, probably the most action Henderson has ever seen. And they raided four convenience stores, a residence, and what a shocker, a mosque. And the reason was, evidently, these guys have been buying cigarettes in North Carolina, where it's got an extremely low, about 5 cents a pack sales tax, state sales tax, and then reselling them when smuggling them out of the state in places like Michigan and Virginia and other places where the sales tax is higher. And all that money has been allegedly been shipped to Al-Qaeda of the Arabian Peninsula because the people that were arrested in the raid were all from Yemen. So isn't that lovely that this is going on and we never hear about it? I don't even remember who forwarded that story to me, but was it you, Reese?
No, that one is the one that you found on and was telling me about.
And I thank whoever it was. I really don't remember. I get so much stuff forwarded to me, and I wish I had the time to go through everything. I do try and read each and everything that is sent to me, but unfortunately, sometimes I just don't have the time. But that was a good story, and since we're talking about Small Town USA, and we're talking about things going on, we've got to talk about what happened in England this week. So, I know we probably don't have an article pulled up, but I can go off memory. For those who don't know, this week in London, they arrested 12 people aged 17 through 28, all Muslims, who were planning a Mumbai-style attack in London to just commit all kinds of terrorism for the Christmas holiday. Well, for those who are unaware of it, you've got to hear this next piece, because that night, now mind you, let's just track the time here, the day of the arrests, it was all over the news. I mean, you couldn't turn on any channel, you couldn't pick up a newspaper, you couldn't turn on the radio or go to the internet without seeing the lead story as 12 people were arrested in the United Kingdom in a terrorist raid where they arrested 12 individuals. So it was all over the news.
Plastered everywhere. I don't know any. It was all over Twitter. It was all over Facebook. It was everywhere.
I mean, Bin Laden living in a cave knew about this, okay? Everybody knew about this. This is like big news. Well, later that night, that same day, but later that night, Diane Sawyer did Primetime Live. and she had a roundtable discussion with the three most important people to our protection here in the United States. She had Janet Napolitano, Director of Homeland Security. She had John Brennan, the National Security Advisor. And she had Director Clapper, clap on, clap off, it's the clapper. She had Director Clapper, Security Director. Now, the National Security Director, let me just kind of draw everybody a picture here. He is the one who is the liaison between all the different agencies, because the 9/11 Commission found out that the CIA kind of knew some stuff and the FBI kind of knew some stuff, but they didn't talk to each other. And that's why we created Homeland Security. And this National Director of Security, of intelligence, is supposed to be the liaison, knowing all the intelligence that's going on, and he's the one that makes sure that everybody knows what the other person is doing. Everybody has the same intelligence, and that way we won't have another 9/11. Well, he's on Primetime Live with Diane Sawyer, and I'm going to play the clip for you, so you're going to have to try and use your imagination here as to what actually took place on video, but I'll explain it after I play the clip. So everybody listen up. Here's Diane Sawyer with this roundtable discussion.
How did they stay in control with so much information coming in every day? For instance, the afternoon of our interview, the day's news had been filled with the terror arrest, 12 people in London just that morning. But when we asked the Director of Intelligence,
London, how serious is it? Any implication that it was coming here? Any of the things that they have seen were coming here? Director Clapper.
The arrest of the 12 individuals by the British this morning.
Yes.
This is something that the British informed us about early this morning and where it was taking place.
Later in the interview, I came back.
All right, now I'm going to stop it there and I'll go back to it. Now, I want everybody to picture this, because if you haven't seen the video, Diane Sawyer was talking to Director Clapper. Director Clapper, say that 10 times fast. And she said, London, any indication it was coming here? Anything we need to worry about, et cetera, et cetera? And for 7 solid seconds, he sat there like a deer.
He had deer in headlights. He's looking around. His mouth is doing the gape open, gape closed.
He was so lost by her question that she then looked at him after that 7-second dead air, as they like to call it on TV and radio, just total silence, and was like, Director Clapper? And the person you heard answer was John Brennan, because Director Clapper turned to his left where Janet Napolitano and John Brennan were sitting and went, London? He had no clue.
Well, and did you happen to catch Napolitano's face, though? She, too, had that deer in headlight look.
Yeah, the only one that seemed aware at that table was John Brennan. But the man that's supposed to make sure that everybody else is aware of it, it had been all over the news. Give me one reason. Somebody please call me. 347-857-1380. I want to know why this man should not be fired. He is the Director of Intelligence and knew nothing about London. I'm going to play it again, and I'm not going to stop it in the middle. I want you to hear the whole thing, because she goes back later in the interview and she asks him about it.
How did they stay in control with so much information coming in every day? For instance, the afternoon of our interview, the day's news had been filled with the terror arrest, 12 people in London just that morning. But when we asked the Director of Intelligence,
London, how serious is it? Any implication that it was coming here? Any of the things that they have seen were coming here?
Tweet, I can hear the cricket.
Director Clapper.
London? The arrest of the 12 individuals by the British this morning.
Yes.
This is something that the British informed us about early this morning.
About what they were talking
place.
About.
Later in the interview, I came back to the director. Did he really not know?
I was a little surprised you didn't know about London, Director Clapper.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't.
Well, you referenced London, but you didn't talk about the arrest.
And he's so blasé about it. That's what's frustrating. He's blasé that he didn't know about it.
She said to him, I'm a little surprised you didn't know about London. And he said, I didn't. And the voice you heard immediately thereafter was John Brennan saying, well, you referenced London, but you didn't reference the arrests.
Right.
No, I'm sorry. Nice try. Politics can only be played so far. The man needs to be fired. That is, he is in charge of our intelligence. Explain this. Can somebody tell me why he shouldn't be fired? Reese, check out line two and see who that is while I rant and rave a little bit. I am so ticked off. This man is supposed to be the liaison between all our agencies. How is it the news knew about it and he didn't? Where do you think the news media gets this information? They get it from our intelligence people. How is it this man did not know about it? There is no reason he should even be in office anymore. This is a perfect example of our administration and the incompetence and the incompetent people that Obama has put in charge for our security. It's just driving me bonkers. I'm so ticked off, you have no idea. Reese, come on back and talk because my blood pressure is going through the
Sorry, I was grabbing the phone. We have a caller.
I know we do. I see it's Trade Martin. Trade, hang on 1 second. I'll get to you. I'm in the middle of letting my blood pressure go up here. Oh, I'm so angry. Where are my cigarettes? Where's my hot chocolate? I need to calm down.
I'm going to get you some chamomile.
I'm going to give that number, 347-857-1380. Somebody call in. Anybody. And give me one reason why this man shouldn't be fired. Trade Martin, how's it going, buddy?
Immediately he should have been fired. Right on that show, I would have called him up if I was the president, and I would have fired him right while he was on television, that jerk.
Absolutely.
You're talking about that jerk that didn't know about the attack in England?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. I wasn't even I just called in. I wasn't listening, but I knew you were mad about that. I could tell right away.
And the fact that you know about it says something, because anybody that wasn't living in a cave knew what happened in London that day, and the director of intelligence for our entire country had no clue what Diane Sawyer was talking about.
I know, but these guys are supposed to get reports in the morning. You know, they're supposed to know it before we know it, not us know
That's
it after.
Exactly.
But they know
the
it.
Point. You would think that our intelligence would have known about it before it hit the media.
There was no intelligence in this administration. You know?
Yeah, well, if that doesn't scare the bejesus out of you, I don't know what will. Oh, boy. Everybody on the line, we've got Trade Martin. Trade is a Grammy Award-winning singer and producer, artist. He is the one. We played his song last week. I played Peace in the Middle East.
Oh, yeah? Peace in the Middle East? Uh-huh.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got a new song out now, I understand.
Yes, the one about the mosque, wishing the mosque and all the atheists Merry Christmas. And we may as well.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Know, I figured... You know, George Soros is waiting, and I figured he's if he doesn't buy Iraq, you know, I heard he may buy Iraq, and Afghanistan or something. But if he doesn't buy them, I want to at least wish him Merry Christmas, you know.
Well, Trade, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I want you to plug your website, give a little background on yourself, and as soon as you're done, I'm going to cue up your song, and we're going to play Merry Christmas Mosque.
Okay, great.
My website
is trademartinmusic.com. I don't sell anything on my website, but my records are usually at Amazon.com and iTunes and any one of the other music suppliers. But I'm not here to sell records, really. I just enjoy your show, Gaddy. And where's Reese? She's still there?
I'm right here, honey. Yeah. Can you do me a favor, Trey?
Sure.
You and Jimmy J, fabulous team.
Thank you.
Did a Christmas song that you have over there on Amazon.com. You want to plug that real quick, because I tell you what, it's a must. People need to get that because it's such a great, enjoyable thing to just sit around the family, sitting around listening to this. It definitely hits you in the heart. It's good.
Oh, thank you. I would have sent it over to you if I didn't know what what your format was going to be, but I figured that you were going to play, Mosque and... Middle East related things. So, and Christmas is the Santa's Midnight Ride you're talking about, Jimmy and I did.
Yes.
That's on Amazon. But you want me to send you that MP3? I could send it to you while I'm on. Almost.
Well, if you want to, I don't know if we can get it in to put it on the show tonight, but we can try.
Yeah, we can definitely.
All right, well, no pressure. I wanted you to hear that last thing I sent you because that's so funny. I mean, it's a little harsh. You may not want to play this though, but it's I want a terrorist in my toilet bowl for Christmas. I just sent you.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to listen because show had already started. But
well, you should listen to it before you play.
I was looking forward to it.
There's no actual curse words in it, you know, but it's a little harsh, you know. So, and it's very short though.
Don't mind harsh, right? You know me better than that.
I know you like harsh. I know that.
I know what Obama would say to it. He would say something like this.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
That's what Obama would say to that.
Is that what he said? Was that put together, or is that an actual quote from him?
No, that's actually him speaking. I'll explain that if you like. That's from the book Dreams of My Father, and since he did the audio version of that book, you can take little snippets, and there he was talking about some other people that he went to high school with, and he was quoting someone else. But that's him saying it, and I just love that clip. I'm going to wear that
there
button.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Yeah, so that's...
Well, it sounds like he knows how to use the word pretty good. You know, it doesn't sound like it's alien to his speech.
No, it's very smooth going for him. He knows how to say it.
Yeah. Without a teleprompter, too. He did that without a teleprompter, I think.
Yeah, but he was reading his book, so he
kind of... Of course, yeah.
Now, just to give another, just so other people understand why we just admire Trademark so much, you know, here in America Akbar so much. Trademark has done up a couple of other songs. He did the he worked with you and John and Matt there on that on Tequila, which was a spoof off of the Tequila song, but it's Tequila and it's a good. Catchy way of learning a little bit of what tequila is.
Yeah. Did you play that? Did you play it on the air? Not tonight, but I mean, did you play it on the air eventually?
Oh, we played it on the air, yeah. We're going to have to, maybe tonight, if we have enough time before we end the show, we'll definitely play it on the air. You still haven't given your background. People have no idea if they're just tuning in who the heck Trey Martin is. You got to give me your bio.
Well, I should.
He's
really.
He's very modest.
I don't like to really... talk about myself too much because, you know, I sound like I'm exaggerating too much. Jimmy really knows more about me than I do.
Hey, but you know what? Doc in chat, and he's also from Radio Jihad, he knows who you are because he's over here tapping me in private saying B.B. King.
Oh, yeah. Well, I produced B.B., a number of cuts with B.B., and that's how I got the Grammy because B.B., I won the Grammy. Well, the artist gets the Grammy, but I produced the Grammy Award-winning CD for B.B., which was Live at San Quentin, and it won the Grammy that year. And that's my Grammy credit, basically, you know, as a producer. But what's that? I hear a applause.
That was applause. That was
like it sounded like I'm doing a record that. I have a duet that I did with B.B. a while ago, and it's called Peace to the World. And I'm finally mixing it and putting it together. I'll have it ready late tonight, and I'm going to send it to you.
Oh, awesome.
You're
going
to hear it. It's me and B.B. singing back and forth, Peace to the World, my song. You'll like it. It's a good little record, yeah. It's a very exciting record.
Great. Well, listen, how long is Merry Christmas Mosque last? How many minutes?
It's about 2 minutes and 30 seconds or something like that. 2 minutes.
All right, everybody sit back and get ready for Merry Christmas Mosque by Trey Martin and a little bit of relaxing Christmas music for the next minutes here on America Akbar.
Christmas time is here and our USA is a wonderland. Nativity scenes and evergreens. Decorations across the land. And I wish the mosque Merry Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Don't let them get ground zero to business. America celebrates the birth of Jesus.
God bless the mosque.
And Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Here's the season to be jolly. La 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 la.
It's
this joyous season of peace and trust.
Christmas around the world.
Pray for the family who has suffered oh so much.
Together now, come on, let's all wish the a few blocks from a sacred site where so many heroes and innocent died. Common sense has been denied. Let's all wish the most Merry Christmas. Don't let them give Ground Zero the business. America celebrates the birth of Jesus. God bless the most and Merry Christmas.
Oh yeah.
That is awesome. I apologize to everybody for the, it's a low quality, when we upload stuff to Blog Talk, it doesn't always sound as good as I'd like. So trust me, the original recording is much better. That's awesome.
Thanks. I'm glad you like it. Thank you. It sounded better to me on the phone. It sounded better to me on the phone than in the studio, I'll tell you that.
I don't know. I had a hard time not laughing through it all because, well, and you're getting a great song you're getting from the chat room. Doc also wants to know, Trade, is this one on your new Peace to the World CD?
No, actually it's not. It's so new. I just finished it maybe 3 days ago. And it's so new that it's not really even out. You know, I just got it done. And it's on, there's an article today, yesterday it was in the New York Examiner. They put it in there.
Okay,
and
cool.
I mean, it's so new that, and it's just a short shelf life, you know, because tomorrow and Christmas and it's all over after that. I mean, nobody's
gonna wanna listen to this. Yeah, well, then you can just share it next year.
That's all. But this year is, you know, one of the reasons I did is, well, I didn't know it was going to happen, but that the Saudi Arabian prince wants to move the mosque to where the St. Vincent Hospital thing is. Gaddy, you know about that, right?
Yes.
And so, I mean, that's not what made me do it, but when I heard that, it made me move it along and do it even faster because I knew that was a big news item at the time, that they want to buy the hospital in order to move the mosque into almost like Midtown New York, you know?
Well, I'll tell you.
I don't really think the mosque is going to be built down at Ground Zero. I don't think that's going to come through.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope not. I think that if push comes to shove and they really want it bad enough, money's not going to be an issue for these people. You know,
no, I know that.
80%, 75% to 85% of the mosques that are in the United States have been built and funded by Saudi Arabia. They certainly do not have a lack of money. So just remember that the next time you're filling your car up with gas, because that's where the money goes.
That's right. That's true.
We were talking when you came on, as you know, about the primetime special with Diane Sawyer with Burren Brennan and Napolitano. There's one other clip that I got to play. You're going to get a kick out of this if you haven't.
Sure, go ahead. Yeah,
Janet Napolitano, you know, I don't know too many kids in high school that wouldn't know this particular piece, I'm just going to play it. And everybody listen and see if you can figure out what Napolitano said that was a little bit incorrect. So we'll go ahead with this clip.
Gotti, before you do that?
Yeah.
Before you do that, I just want to say this wasn't the easiest clip to find because I think they scrubbed it from the from the show.
Oh, they did?
I think so because it wasn't easy to find.
Yeah.
But when I found it, I snagged it.
I have not watched the playback of that entire broadcast, so I don't know whether or not they edited it out. But this is Janet Napolitano when talking to Diane Sawyer. You're going to get a kick out of this. Here we go.
What do you say to the American people right now about the degree of anxiety that's just realistic right now as we head into the holidays?
Yeah, what I say to the American people is that we are, and thousands of people are working 24/7, 364 days a year to keep the American people safe.
Now, does anybody want to tell me what's wrong with that statement?
Unbelievable.
Where did this woman go to school?
She went to school with Obama and his, 57 plus three more states, 60 states.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I know.
Well, here's what I figured after watching that show. Being that Clapper didn't know about what had happened with the arrests that morning in London, I'm thinking since they only work 364 days a year, that must have been their day off.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm thinking that's the day they took off because, you know.
You know, as laughing matter as it is, this is really frightening because these are the people that are supposed to keep us safe. And let me tell you something. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. The terrorists are a lot of things, but one of them that they're not is stupid. And these people are just downright ignorant. You got the director of intelligence not even knowing that these arrests took place, and then you've got the director of Homeland Security thinking there's only 364 days in a year. Let me explain this to you. Even in a leap year, there's an extra day, okay?
Well, Doc and Chad is saying it was a typo on the prompter. And, of course, later on, there was backtracking, and her spokesperson was saying she obviously misspoke. She obviously knows that there's 365 days.
Really?
Okay.
Really? I still haven't gotten the phone call. Can anybody out there call me at 347-857-1380 and tell me why Director Clapper shouldn't be fired immediately? I still don't know what this man is doing with a job.
I'm laughing. Slim Jin in chat says, why doesn't she just tell us the one day a year we're not protected so that at least we can stay home that day? Well, you know what? Some of us are a little bit close to some really scary spots so that, you know, I want to be away from home on those days.
That's a good line. Yeah, what day are they going to be off so we can know what day not to be really, really afraid or protect ourselves. These people are so amateurish. It's a crime.
Well, and that's what it comes down to. You see them with the deer in headlight look. You see them backpedaling. You see them trying to spin. And half the time it sounds like they are just spinning their wheels. They're talking in circles. They're regurgitating old rhetoric. There's no substance to how they talk. And you know, just it's all that poo-poo, you know, feel-good type language that they use. They don't use anything that it makes any sense or makes it substantial.
Yeah, true.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's frightening, you know. I don't know. I didn't hear the name you said, Reese, of the person in the chat room that made that comment, but it's at the point where I want to stay home 364 days out of 360. Because I don't trust these people. I won't get on an airplane because of what I know about the TSA. I go to these guys. I've lectured to these guys. I've lectured to law enforcement, including the TSA, and I've stood in front of them and told them that they're incompetent. And you know what? It's scary because they'll agree with me. And these are the leaders of these organizations.
So they really do agree with you, huh? That's wild. That's funny.
Oh, yeah. When I've told them some of the things that I personally have done to prove how just asinine our security is, that it's not even worth utilizing the word security.
Mm-hmm.
Take away nail clippers from grandma. The last time I was at the airport, I watched them take a woman, if she was 90, she was a day, in a wheelchair. They made this woman stand up inside the scanner.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and that was, I think, one of my biggest, what really totally, between all the children getting, groped and what have you, but I think really totally set me off is you've got a slew of soldiers coming back from combat in Afghanistan. They've already been cleared with their weapons cleared. Their weapons are not loaded or anything.
Right.
And they make a stop to let the first grouping, 100 so soldiers off to go home. And the rest were forced off the plane. They had to be
rescreened.
And they had to. This one soldier had nail clippers on him. They demanded him give up his nail clippers. He's sitting there holding his weapon, his military issued weapon, right there in his hand. And he says, "How is that nail clipper more of a weapon than what I'm holding in my hand? Well, you can't hurt me with that. You want a bat? Have you not been butt beat?" the logic there is just not there. Oh, my gosh, the nail clippers will do more damage than getting beat down by a rifle.
Unbelievable. The whole administration is incompetent, and he just keeps hiring incompetent people. Maybe there's a few that are competent there, but they sure haven't shown it yet.
Well, I think that Obama would answer that this way.
It's getting way too complicated for me.
It's just getting way too complicated for him.
It's
getting way too complicated for me.
Yeah.
I have a good one. Slim Jim has already put in some good input, but I have to tell you a second thought that was really cracked me up. He says 364 days in a year, 57 states. What's next? 11 days of Christmas?
Yeah, that's good. Good lines these people come up with,
I'll
tell you.
He's a good one. Yeah, he's got good lines.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
He
should be a comedy writer.
I know. Well, one of my favorites today that I was, I go into the strategy board over there on Fox News, and I guess they do Fox News Live or something now is what they call it. And
right.
One of the guys was saying, he says this, they were like Schultz, I know nothing kind of thing. It's like, I know nothing. That whole blink, you can hear the crickets. I swear, watching him with his mouth gaping, and you could hear the crickets.
He was staring into space. He was.
Oh, he lost it.
It's frightening to say the least that these people are in charge of our security. It's frightening to think that they're in charge of anything. to be quite honest with you, I mean, just to put it bluntly, it really shows the incompetence overall from the top down. And if the people at the top are doing this, it scares the heck out of me. When I see what's happening, I just walk around a local mall where I live, and I see how many people are dressed in Muslim garb, and I worry. I worry, Juan Williams said the same thing, and I'll tell you.
Yeah, I remember that. Yes.
I see this.
Yes, right.
And you got to
worry. He got abused. Yeah, he just got, annihilated for saying that.
And he said something that was just, from his heart, but that's a whole other show. One of the things, if you will, Reese, do you have the burqa bungle keyed up? Because we can, if you'll plug that in the chat room, the link, so people can actually watch the video. I'd like to get into what took place in Australia with this burqa business, and then we can talk about Philadelphia after that.
Okay, let me find the Australia one, because that's the one that started the whole ball rolling on the burqa day for us. That was actually quite an interesting. It seemed like everybody was on the burqa bandwagon that day because of the I'm pretty sure this is it. Because, I don't know, there's a lot of stuff on the news about burqa issues or hijab issues, whichever you want to, go. And it's just amazing. It blows my mind. Let me find chat again. Okay, in chat, this link that I'm putting in, it's a story. It also has a video, and I encourage you all, not during the show, unless, Gotti, are you putting it up too so people can listen to the video?
I'll link it in the chat room, and everybody, when we take a break or after the show,
right.
It's like 5 minutes long, and I can give you the whole indication of what took place. Australia, go ahead, Trade.
No, no, let us know, Gaddy, because I want to know about this. I'm not sure about
what happened in Australia, you know, and this is the same throughout the world. If you really want to get a cop in trouble, all you got to do is scream, you know, that he's being discriminatory or racist in any manner. But in Australia, a police officer pulled over a woman. Now, mind you, the reason he initially pulled her over, and if you watch the video, you'll see because, like Florida, they have very dark tinted windows because of the sun in Australia. You can't even see inside this van. He pulls this van over because of the tags. And I don't remember exactly what was wrong with the tags, if they were out of date or what the story was.
Right.
Had a legitimate reason to pull it over. Well, the woman steps out of the vehicle and she's in a burqa. We're talking head to toe. The only thing showing are her eyes. He asked her, which was his right, because after he got her driver's license, you need to remove your veil so that I can make sure you're the person that that's in the
license. On the license, yeah. Who's
now,
license?
Just out of curiosity, on the driver's license, she cannot be in her burqa and her hijab, right?
No, she cannot. And if you watch the end of the story, they explain that the law in Australia does state that when a police officer has reasonable suspicion or a reason to pull you over, he does have the right for you to ask you to remove your veil, which you must comply. That is the law in Australia. It doesn't say you can't drive around with it on. It doesn't say you can't walk around with it on. It says that if you're suspected or pulled over for any reason, an officer has the right to ask you to remove your veil, to expose your face, so that he can match you up to your identification. Very simple.
Logical, sure. It's logical.
Okay. So this woman claims, after not receiving a ticket, because she goes off on him and she's got a dash cam camera. Thank God this officer had a dash cam camera. She sues him and takes him to court claiming that he tried to pull her veil off and that he was being racist and that he pulled her over for no other reason other than being a Muslim. But the charge that really stuck was that he tried to pull her veil off, which would be assault, that he had asked her to remove it, and she says that never happened. He tried to pull it off. He grabbed me, and he tugged at my veil. Well, thank God what she didn't know when they went to court was he
was the camera was going.
It not only did it never happen, but when they showed in court that it never took place, now she's facing a charge of lying to the police. So here's what happens. Her lawyer then says, oh, she's not the one who made the statement that he pulled off her veil. That was her twin sister, but you wouldn't know because she was wearing a burqa.
Unbelievable, man.
So
wow.
The whole thing. Thank God for this man having a dash cam because it saved his career. Because had
he
not been there, you know what would have happened.
Oh, sure.
And it's just amazing because, I mean, I sat and watched that whole video, and she's just going off on him. I mean, just this hysterical tirade all over this cop, and then at the very end, you know, of course she gets her tickets and what have you, and he's walking it off, and he says very nicely, bye-bye, because I mean, he was very pleasant with her. He was very well controlled, that's for sure, and so I mean, very nicely, he said bye-bye, and she turns around and waves him, bye-bye, in such a nice little, like, they had a, you know, they were leaving after tea.
yeah, it was
and
funny
I'm,
because...
I'm like,
it caught her off guard. The last thing she had screamed to him was, I'm going to have your badge. I'm going to see you in court. You know, I'm suing you for this. You watch. I'm 100% in the right. And he's like, okay, fine. Have a nice day. Bye-bye. And started to walk away, and she's like, bye-bye.
That's funny. Yeah, that's so
totally
cute.
Caught her off guard because he was nice. So now that leads us to our next story.
Well, and, real quick on that last point, and I've seen this news report too, and Lerner in chat is making the comment that, you know, now that she's been sentenced, as a Muslim man is saying that she should, or I think that's her lawyer actually saying that she should not be sentenced out of mercy for her seven children. Okay.
This guy's a good lawyer, though. I'll tell you, he makes up a lot of good excuses. I love the one that the twin sister said made the statement.
Yeah, she made
the complaint.
It wasn't the woman that he pulled over. It was her twin sister, and because she was a I mean, it's important that he couldn't think of anything better than a twin. But this leads us now to this country. If you think that this isn't happening here in the United States, people, you better wake up.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to laugh. I'm sorry. I keep going back to this. But these people in chat, I'm telling you, they got a great conversation going on. Iggy Mom said, have you noticed that all the so-called vandalism against mosques are mysteriously gone once the surveillance videos surface? And that brings me to a story that I saw yesterday. But then Slim Jim, I'm telling you, this guy's great. When she's found guilty for lying under oath, the judge should have fun with her and sentenced her, shall we say this, death by stoning. And then, of course, I'm sure he should have said, psych. But can you imagine the look on her face? Because think about that.
No, Reese, I can't imagine the look on her face because she's wearing a burqa.
That's right.
Okay, touche.
All right, let me tell people what's going on in Philadelphia. This is really disheartening. I mean, you know, this is where I say week after week, article after article, lecture after lecture, and everybody says, you don't never happen here. People, eyes, I'm getting sick of this. It'll never happen here. Okay, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, big city, 6 million people. It is illegal, okay? It is illegal to wear a ski mask into a place of business. Okay, that makes sense. And this happened a couple of weeks ago when there was a big cold snap and they had some really, really cold winter winds, a guy was wearing a ski mask, started to go into a ShopRite supermarket. He didn't even intend to wear it inside. But as he got to the door and he started to take it off anyway, he was immediately met with security who stopped him and said, you cannot come in with a ski mask for security reasons.
Right.
He was taking it off anyway. Makes sense. Okay. People with ski masks tend to rob other people. He could walk in and pull out a shotgun. Makes perfect sense. Can't wear a ski mask in Philadelphia in a private business. Fine. I have no issue with that.
Right.
Here's the problem. They don't stop people that are wearing burqas. Now, here's where it gets me, okay? It's one thing to say that it's a religious freedom and you can't stop them. While this guy was standing in front of the ShopRite, several women went in wearing burqas. But here's the kicker. This took place in a part of Philadelphia known as Port Richmond. Now, if you're not familiar with Philadelphia, I'll just give you a little bit of history on Port Richmond. 2 years ago, in Port Richmond, there were men dressed in burqas who went into a business and robbed it. And on their way out, they shot and killed a cop in cold blood.
Wow.
Once again, never made the mainstream media. They were dressed as women. They were wearing burqas. They were hiding their face, and they killed a cop in cold blood. Officer Stephen Lisbinski was shot and killed. But guess what? They still don't ban burqas in Philadelphia.
Did they ever find the perpetrators? What?
Actually, the perpetrator that shot the cop was shot and killed as well.
Oh, good.
That's okay. So if you want to see, and Reese, if you want, you can download in the chat room the article that I'm referring to.
Right.
It says, businesses in Philadelphia are allowed to ban ski masks for safety reasons, but are not allowed to ban burqas because that would offend Muslims. Even though a cop killer and people throughout the city suggested that people do that. They are afraid of groups like CARE, and it even says that in the article, that would be the Council on American Islamic Relations.
Right.
Who also came out in support of the cop killer.
Unbelievable.
People wake up and open your stupid burqa-covered eyes. I'm getting sick of hearing it's not going to happen here. This is creeping Sharia, and it is not getting any better.
It's not creeping anymore.
It's not. And if you don't pick up the phone and you don't call a congressman, you don't call your representative, you don't call your senator or even your local people, I'm telling you what, you have nobody to blame but yourselves.
Scotty, I have to tell you this because this will help, you know, kind of lower your blood pressure because it'll make you laugh.
I'm sorry.
Learner, it's okay. I just need to make you laugh because your blood pressure, I can feel it's already raising. Learner in chat says, men cross-dressing in burqas? Is that a gun under your burqa? Or are you just a cross-dressing guy who's happy to see me?
Well, I'll tell you what. Since it is illegal under Sharia law with the penalty of death to be a homosexual, I'd hate to be one of those guys and get caught. See,
well,
they
but see, the, it's, they can just cry Turkiya and because they're furthering, you know, Islam.
Yeah, they can cry Halloween too. The point is we need to ban burqas. They've done it in France. They're doing it in Australia because of this whole incident. It is getting ridiculous, people. I don't want to walk into a store. I'll tell you what. I walk into a store and I see somebody in a burqa, I'm walking out because I don't know if they're going to pull a gun out from underneath their robe.
That's very possible, I know. And it's listen, you know what they're going to really do, though? They're probably going to start a religion where you wear ski masks in the religion, and you're going to be able to wear the ski masks in the thing just in order to keep the burqa okayed, you know?
Well,
in order to keep the burqa legal, they're gonna legalize ski masks. That's
the Halloween masks of all the different presidents. I'm gonna start a religion, and we can call it Reaganism, and we're all gonna wear Reagan masks. So Ronald Reagan can go around robbing all the banks and robbing all the stores because, you know, God forbid, or in this case, Allah forbid, you tell someone they can't wear a mask when entering a store. People, this is just blatant, downright common sense.
Listen, if I were in charge, I would rule that this is not even a religion at all. I wouldn't kick them out, but I would say, listen, we don't recognize this religion. Any religion where they stone women and behead people for stupid stuff that's light stuff, I just don't get it.
I'll tell you what, Frank. I'll tell you what, you know, and I got to give credit where credit's due, because this comes from Jan Morgan, and you may not know who Jan is, but Jan and I have done a couple of radio interviews together.
Uh-huh.
Jan, you can find her on Facebook. Everybody go over and friend her. She's got a fan page because her friends page is well over 5,000 now, and she can't take any more friends.
Wow.
She's a TV anchor out of Texas. God love her. She has really done her homework on Islam. Well, she made a post on Facebook, and she said she had the solution to this whole problem with Islam.
Now, what was it?
And it was very smart. She said that any religion is allowed in the United States, and we all understand that. It's your constitutional right. You have freedom of religion. I don't have a problem with that. This is what she wrote. Here's what she said. If your religion in any way calls for the death or violence against anyone else, regardless of who they are, then you will not be recognized in the United States as a religion, and you certainly will not get nonprofit 501c3 status like mosques do.
I agree.
You can pray to trees, you can pray to dogs, you can pray to whatever you want, and we don't care. But if it calls in your holy book for the death or destruction of others, then you will not be recognized as a religion. And I'll tell you what, I applaud her for that idea.
Right.
I think it's so logical, it's unbelievable. I think it's great.
I think it's ridiculous that we've gotten to a point in the United States of America where we even need to clarify that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it just... And what it comes down to is anything that infringes upon our Constitution, and we all know that Sharia infringes upon the Constitution because it doesn't recognize our Constitution.
Right.
That, you know, anything that infringes upon our Constitution should not be allowed to be exempt from, because that's what it is. You know, you've got your tax exemption because you're counted as a religion.
Right.
A whole other can of worms right there.
I'll tell you what, and Trade, if you would, I want to take a quick break. I'm not quite sure how long this song is. I bet Trade would know. But I'm going to play a piece in the Middle East, and we will be back after this.
Beautiful. Terrorism's gotta cease.
democracy. Every nation living and working together in sweet, sweet harmony. The people, white people in the Middle East and all over the world.
I was chair dancing during that one. I don't know about you guys.
I was chair dancing with you, Gotti.
Dance in your seat, huh?
I do.
Oh, thank you.
It's a fun song.
That was my exercise. I needed to stretch. That is such an awesome song. Trey, do you have a guitar handyman? You play some awesome guitar.
Thank you, man. I played that same guitar I'm using on that session on Neil Diamond's Cherry Cherry. Same guitar.
Him, isn't he a singer?
Yeah, I know Neil a long time. I know him before he could sing.
I knew him before he could sing. I knew him before his nose was big. Oh, man. Well, have you got your guitar nearby?
Actually, I don't right now. No, I don't. I could reach for one, actually, in a second. But I haven't heard that record in a long time. It sounds pretty good on the air, I'll tell you that. I'm very proud of myself.
You should be. You should be very, very proud. We'll give you a round of applause for that one.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
Trade Martin Live. Gotta love it. Trade, you are always welcome to call in here. Not a problem.
It's my pleasure. I haven't spoken to you in a while, and I was happy to call in. You know, but it's funny. We do that talk show every Monday, Jimmy and I, and we're on with another she used to work with Rush Limbaugh. She used to be on the same station as Rush Limbaugh. Mary Jane Pop, right?
Mm-hmm.
You listen, don't you, Reese?
Oh, absolutely.
I've listened to the show. It's fun. It's good.
She keeps you guys
in line, though. She's good at that.
Oh, yeah, she does. Yeah, yeah. She's a very, she's been doing that for a long time. But, the funny thing is, when I'm on the show, like with somebody else, I'm very cautious about what I say, and I try to keep it to a minimum, actually, because, I love what you guys are talking about, and I love to listen. And a lot of guys are talking over everybody all the time, and they never stop talking, and it just drives me crazy. and so I like to, cool it a little bit and just listen, because Gaddy is always so knowledgeable at what he's saying, and you know what you're talking about, Reese, too, and it's great. And, when I'm on... I mean, I'm not up to speed today, really, because I've been working on that B.B. King thing, the mosque thing, the terrorist thing. I've been working on so many songs, and my girlfriend just got back home from work, and I'm just not really up to speed, but I'm really enjoying myself with you guys, because you do a very, very super show. And you remind me so much of Aaron Klein, Gaddy.
Thank you, thank you.
Oh, my God. He's got a great show like this, too. And it's but fortunately, he's on WABC. But
I'd like to have his gig. He's reporting out of Israel. Somebody pay me to move to Israel and do that for a living. Oh,
listen, let me ask you something, Gaddy, because you know about this. And I just heard Steve Malzberg, my buddy on WOR, who plays a lot of my records, talk about this today, and I didn't know anything about this, but he had a girl on a woman on the show, believe from Israel, who was talking about this attack that Hamas did about a week ago that was close to a nursery school, and it injured two or three people or something.
Yeah, well, it's funny you should mention that.
Why?
Because that's one of the articles that I had Reese pull up for tonight's show.
It's up your alley. I know that. That's why I mentioned it. And I didn't know about it until today, so I don't know much about it.
Hamas has a new weapon in their arsenal, unfortunately. And, this is a And I got to explain to people, when I lived in Israel and I came back to the United States in 1981, when I lived in Israel, people weren't blowing themselves up, number one. You did not have suicide bombers, homicide bombers, whatever terminology you want to use. People did not blow themselves up. What they were doing at that time was they would create a bomb with a timer, they would leave it somewhere, or they would create a bomb with a mechanism that if it got messed with, it would go off, and they would leave it somewhere. And this is basically how they operated. Now you've got Hamas, which because of the Palestinian Authority has weapons of their own, supposedly to protect themselves. So they're running around with guns. They've got weapons down in Gaza. They're bringing weapons in through the tunnels from Egypt and from other areas.
Right.
They know that Iran is supplying them. But now they've got a new weapon that Israel has never had to confront with Hamas before. And this is really frightening because, as you know, they've been making their own rockets, which have absolutely no guidance system. And the rockets that they've been lobbing into Israel for years now, and it's well over 14,000 rockets that they've lobbed into Israel. Well, now they've got this new weapon, which is actually built and made by Russia, and it's called a Kornet, K-O-R-N-E-T, a Kornet missile. This is a laser-guided missile.
Oh, I see.
They also have tank warheads on it, so they can actually take out damage or take out Israeli tanks. The Russian-made Kornets were actually used in 2006 against Israel when they went into Lebanon against the Hezbollah. Now, those have been supplied, and there was no way really to stop it because that arsenal comes in from Iran to Syria, and then Syria gets the weapons into Hezbollah, into Lebanon. But they've never had an issue with this on their southern border with Hamas. So now, all of a sudden, the Hamas area, the Gaza area, has this laser-guided weapon with tank missiles, and these are tank-piercing missiles. It is, without a doubt, the most advanced weapon they've ever had. And it's very scary. It's really scary because you're dealing with a terrorist organization that wants to destroy Israel. This is not my opinion. This is a stated fact. You can go to the English website of Hamas, read their charter. It is right in their charter. The destruction of Israel. They do not want any Jews on that land. They say that it's theirs, and they're not going to stop until they achieve that or until they die. That's basically the bottom line. So, yeah, that's what you're talking about there, Trade, is that laser-guided Kornet.
So, but, you know, what is the what damage did it do? They said it exploded near a nursery school or something like that, I heard them say.
Actually, my understanding is exactly what you were told by your buddy Steve, who, by the way, I know. Steve is a great guy, and I should really give him a call one of these days. I've been on his show a couple times. But I had heard the same thing and read the same thing in Israeli news, that nobody was killed, pardon me, but there were a couple of injuries.
Right.
It's very hard, you know, as they get more and more advanced weapons. And, you know, people have to understand that your border between Israel and Gaza is like if you go to your front yard and look across the street at your neighbor. I mean, that's basically it. I mean, there's really there's very little what they would call no man's land where you would normally have an area between two countries that are at war like you would have with North and South Korea, that demilitarized zone. It's very small. You could lob a rock across it if you wanted to and your arm was strong enough. You could lob a missile over it. As we know, they've been firing rockets into Israel, and these are homemade rockets. But the Kornet is capable of penetrating armor. We're talking tank armor that is up to 4 feet thick, and it has a range of 4 miles. And it's a warhead that carries 22 pounds. Of TNT. So
I
this
see.
Is no small item. People have to understand, you're talking a 4 mile range and it carries 22 pounds of a warhead. I mean, that's just beyond belief. It's
going
to change the whole spectrum of the southern part of Israel. And Israel is really trying their best to keep them from smuggling more into the country, but they know it's happening in the tunnels. You know, they're coming in through Egypt.
Right, right. But did Israel retaliate for this?
No, not yet.
They didn't. I see.
You know, and this is something that you constantly hear of these rocket attacks, if you bother to read any news outside of the mainstream media in the United States. These go on day in and day out. And, you know, I've asked this question before. How long would the United States sit idly by and restrain themselves if Canada were lobbing rockets into Washington State? You know, I mean, how long would it go on before we would finally say enough and unleash our military? But when Israel did that and they went into Gaza and they tried to use, and they did, what they call pinpoint or surgical strikes, when they go and they contact each and every person living in the area they plan on attacking via an Arabic from the air, or via telephone calls even, with pre-recorded messages in Arabic saying, we are going into this area. If you're a civilian, get out.
Right.
You know, how many different armies have you ever heard of doing such a thing? They bend over backwards to try and not have civilian casualties because Israel does not want to do that. And then what happens? They go in, they attack, and you have the UN screaming, we need an investigation. There's criminal negligence here. This is against the world. You know, how long would it happen with any other sovereign nation getting attack after attack after attack, and they'd restrain themselves? This doesn't go on anywhere else in the world.
Well, it wouldn't happen once to me, and we'd have to retaliate right away.
Exactly. And I want you to think about that. Everybody, the next time you hear somebody talking about Israel being the apartheid, you know, on Gaza, and how Gaza is this little area that's just, you know, poor Palestinians, I want you to think about your neighbor unloading a shotgun into your wall every day from his house to your house, and how long it's going to take before you act. Because that's exactly what's going on with rockets. And they don't go after the military. They go after children, like Trade was just saying last week. After
nursery school.
Exactly.
Yeah, what a shame. I know.
Children living down there, they can't even go to school because of the rocket attacks on a daily basis.
Well, you know, I believe that, you know, the United States is kind of suppressing, suppressing Israel a lot for not going in there. Otherwise, Netanyahu would open up and want to go right in there and just wipe them out.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm surprised that Netanyahu has shown the restraint that he has over the amount of time that he has been prime minister, because he won the election because he's a hero. He's a hawk. He's very conservative. He's very right-wing. And if you ever saw any of his, you know, banners or slogans or posters when he was running for office, where Obama had "Yes, we can" as his slogan, Netanyahu, Benjamin Netanyahu, the current prime minister of Israel,
"Yes, we will."
His wasn't "Yes, we will," but it was that national security is his first priority. That was his logo, and he meant it.
Yeah. And in chat, Lerner says Israel gave Gaza Strip to the Palestinians, and they used it to fire missiles on the Israelis. No wonder Israel took it back.
Yeah, well, Israel hasn't taken it back. It's still a sovereign area. Israel is not in Gaza right now.
It's still kind of a disputed area.
You know, and if one night I keep saying we're going to do a story, you know, just do a whole 2 hours on the truth about what's going on in the West Bank and Gaza, people need to understand
where
Gaza comes from. You know, Gaza is not an area, it's not a refugee camp that Israel set up. Gaza was created by Egypt because they didn't want those people, and yes, I'm stereotyping, but it's a fact, they didn't want those people in Egypt. So they created that refugee camp. And lo and behold, the West Bank, what a shocker. It was the same thing with Jordan. Jordan created that refugee camp because they didn't want those people in Jordan.
Right.
It had nothing to do with it. And when Israel gave back the Sinai Desert with peace for Egypt, with Anwar Sadat, back when Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat sat with Jimmy Carter and made peace and they returned the entire Sinai, Israel said, take Gaza. Please take Gaza. These are your people. And Egypt said, no. We take Gaza, no deal. You keep Gaza. We don't want it. That's why you've got a fence and a border on the Egyptian side that people seem to forget just as much as you do on the Israeli side. It's not the Israelis that are keeping them in prison. Nobody wants them because they are a bunch of fanatics who want nothing more than to overthrow every government where they've ever been. And that's
something, Yadi. Don't these people work? What do they do? Do they farm? What do they do? What do they
farm? They couldn't grow sand if they tried. I mean, trade. You have no idea. Where are they being funded from? Our tax dollars. You know,
yeah.
How many millions and millions and billions of dollars has Obama given the Palestinian Authority? Where does that end up? They buy one.
Well, it's going to end up with harming us is what it's going to end up.
Right.
In one way, shape, or form. If it's not one of our troops, it's going to be some way, it's funding a terrorist attack of one shape or form.
Oh boy! Oh boy!
It's embarrassing that all the news gets turned around, though. That it's always Israel's fault. I love Israel's fault.
It's a Zionist conspiracy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know. I get the emails, man. I'm part of that conspiracy.
Well, the thing about the tax thing, you know, where they didn't want to raise, they didn't want to keep the Bush tax thing in place for the rich people. They're actually talking about the Jews, too, you know, because they think that the Jews are the rich people and that control, they keep on saying they control the media and they control all different stuff, you know. And, I mean, it's just what they say is unbelievable. And, you know, George,
people.
I'm sure you know George Soros is Jewish, but he's like a confirmed atheist. And supposedly he hates Israel, too.
He's Jewish by birth, and there's nothing worse than an anti-Semitic Jew. Don't even get me started on George Soros.
Yeah, okay.
So much for controlling the media. The man who owns Fox News, Rupert Murdoch,
right.
Not Jewish. His name is Murdoch. He's certainly not Jewish. The second largest owner of News Corp, which owns Fox News, as well as all the other media outlets that they own, including Sky News, and the New York Daily News, and the Wall Street Journal, et cetera, I could go on. The second largest shareholder in that is a prince from Saudi Arabia. So much for the Jews owning the media.
I know. It's all a farce. I know that.
And as far as us being the wealthiest, you guys can start sending me money, because I certainly don't have two nickels to rub together. And I, like every one of the people listening to this show, I figure out every month how to budget myself and make my bills and put food on the table. So believe me, we're not the richest. I don't come from
Everybody's got a budget, yeah, including the United States.
Well,
you know, it's crazy.
But
I want to work with other people's. I want to work with other people's money. You know, I want them to send me money, and I want to work with their money, and just be able to spend whatever I want, whenever I want, and fund whatever I want, and not worry about using my own money. That's what the United States does that all the time, and it's a shame.
Well, here's a story that really, if all the rest of this hasn't gotten my blood pressure up just yet, this one's going to do it. And Trey, this one's right up your alley, because I remember on America Akbar a couple of months back, you and I were talking about sex education in kindergarten.
Oh, yeah, with the condoms.
Oh, my goodness,
like
I remember that.
Yes, with the condoms and bananas. Well, here's the thing. You know, all across this wonderful nation of ours, every morning kids go to school and they say the Pledge of Allegiance. Or do they?
And this is in Boston.
This is out of Boston, Massachusetts.
Jimmy's Land, Jimmy J. Elementary School is now sending
permission slips home with their students where they have to opt in. I want you to think about this. They don't opt out. They have to have parental permission to opt in to say the Pledge of Allegiance once a week.
Oh, my God. No kidding.
Okay.
Now, the update on that, which I guess because of the fallout from it, is it is now they don't need to have the permission slips or anything like that, but they do have the choice to opt out now.
Well,
and that includes students and teachers.
Let me explain what really happened here. Because
now, listen, is this, Gotti, before you do that, is this one school or is this all the schools in Boston?
This is one particular school.
Okay, good. A public-funded school or a public or private school?
Oh, it is a public school, of course.
I see.
And here's the funny thing. According to Massachusetts state law, okay, and this is Massachusetts general law, chapter 71, section 69, requires the flag to be displayed in each classroom, and it also requires the classes be led in a group recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag every day. Now, here's the kicker. The principal of this school said, well, there is a fine if the teachers don't lead them in the Pledge of Allegiance every day, and it's, if they do it for 2 weeks straight, the fine to the teacher is $5.
Yeah.
Never really enforced that rule, so we're only going to put on the loudspeaker once a week. It's a state law. So basically what he's saying is, well, we don't enforce the law anyway. Who needs laws? What the heck? We don't need any laws. We don't need to follow the law. Oh, yeah, that's a real good thing to teach the kids. Gee, let's think about it. What are we saying in the Pledge of Allegiance? Let's talk about the fact
to follow, that to follow the law, of course.
These kids do
unbelievable.
Not know the words of the Pledge of Allegiance. And here's the kicker. Are you ready for this trade?
Go ahead.
The principal sent home with these kids a permission slip for them to participate or not to participate in the Pledge of Allegiance, and on it, it actually had the Pledge of Allegiance. God forbid, because people may not know what the kids are going to be saying, and he suggested to the parents that they sit down and discuss it with their kids, because, you know, we need to discuss in advance whether or not I need to be saying this.
Well, I think they need to do the Red Skelton one.
Oh, that's a great one, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I think they need to pull up, I think every school classroom in, you know, third grade and below need to have those Red Skelton Pledge of Allegiance explanation at least once a week so these children understand what they're pledging to and why.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because a lot of the kids are going to say, Mommy, I don't want to do that in the morning. I mean, I don't like that. I don't like that song, or I don't like those words, and they don't want to do it. And the mother's going to say, well, you're right. You know, listen, if you don't want to do it, don't you do it. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
It says under our – this is part of the letter that he sent home with these kids It says, Dear families, many of you are aware that the Massachusetts general law requires that a flag be displayed in each classroom. The law also requires that we lead a group in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Public schools of Brookline policy provide that this may take place weekly, even though the law says daily. Additionally, as part of the Massachusetts history social science framework and the Brookline learning expectation, there is a learning objective that students be able to demonstrate understanding that there are important American symbols by identifying the words of the Pledge of Allegiance. In order to meet the state legal mandate for public schools and support our learning expectations, I will once a week, as part of my morning announcements, recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Classroom teachers, as with any announcement, will bring the class to silence. Students and teachers may choose to stand and recite the pledge, but are not required to do so. Under our Constitution, neither teachers nor students can be mandated to participate in this exercise. This is each person's personal choice. I urge you to have a conversation as a family to help your children understand why I will be reciting the Pledge of Allegiance and support them in feeling comfortable and confident in the decision on whether or not to participate. Whatever decision you and your child make will be fully respected. Please fill out the section below and return it to your child's homeroom teacher. I anticipate that we will begin the Pledge of Allegiance after the new year. On a personal note, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so here he's saying in the beginning of this letter that he sent home that it's Massachusetts state law. But then three paragraphs down he says, under our Constitution, nobody can be mandated to participate in this exercise. I didn't know we could pick and choose the laws that we want because we have a constitutional right to.
Yeah.
That's something new to me. I don't remember seeing that. Let me get my constitution out. Wait a minute. Here it is. Let me look. Let me check. No, it's not in the amendments. I don't see anywhere where it says we can pick and choose the laws we want because we're not happy with them.
Well, you know, they can choose whether to do the Pledge of Allegiance, but they are mandated to have to buy health care. You know, they have to buy a health care policy.
Well, here's what kills me, Trade.
What?
I send my kid to a public school, and they're going to learn as young as 5 years old how to put a condom over the top of a banana at five in public
right.
school. And if I don't like that, I can opt my child out. I can send a letter with my child or go to the school and say, I don't want my child to participate in this. That's called opting out.
Mm-hmm.
This, you have to opt in. So I have to opt him out for sex ed, but I have to opt him in to say the Pledge of Allegiance?
It should be a no-brainer. It should be, you know, it should be a standard thing that we have to do, like it always used to be.
Like it used to be, exactly.
Yeah, like it used to be.
Having love and respect for our Constitution used to be something that, you know, we grew up with as well, but it just doesn't seem like that any longer.
Well, they're trying to make the Constitution unconstitutional. That's what they're trying to
do.
Well, there used to be a time when people said the Pledge of Allegiance every day, and part of that, it explains that we're a republic and not a democracy.
Right.
Now, today, you have congressmen and senators who insist that we live in a democracy. They don't even know the Constitution of the United States. They don't even know that our founding fathers put democracy in the same category as fascism. Democracy.
Right. It's a republic. Is there a republic?
We have a republic.
Positively.
And we wonder where these schmucks are coming from that are getting into office that are saying things like this. Gee, could it be because our public education system isn't even teaching them the Pledge of Allegiance anymore? People, wake up. Pick up the phone. Call your local school system if you've got a kid in public school. And I'll tell you what, even if you don't have a kid in your public school, call anyway because your taxes are paying for it.
Well, this guy, this principal should be fired along with the guy from Homeland Security.
Yeah, they should both be out of work and not allowed to get unemployment for the next 13 months.
No, oh, no kidding.
Well, we're going to extend that. We're going to extend that to lifetime unemployment. Like, well, why not
sure,
give it to them for
that?
Just their whole life.
Just their butts. Who cares? You
it's,
know,
it's all. Everything is out of line. Everything is out of line. It's just nothing. Nothing is sensible anymore.
You know, Lerner just pointed out about the national anthem. I have to wonder whether or not kids in public school today even hear that anymore. You know, does anybody in the chat room, anybody listening, have an elementary or junior high school child that can call and let us know what's going on in these public schools? Because I know from state to state and area to area it's different. Please call in and let me know. It's 347-857-1380. And by the way, I still haven't gotten a phone call as to why somebody can tell me why this schmuck who's the head of national security hasn't been fired yet for not knowing about the terrorists in England. Go on, Racy.
I say I have kids at that age group, but they don't go to school. And you know what? I never even asked my their friends if they're required to do any of that. I don't know. I've never.
You homeschool them, Racy? You homeschool them?
We homeschool them. Yeah, we
homeschool
kids. Oh,
that's great. That's good. That's very important.
That's
great.
That's the way.
I think. Well, and it's a growing movement because you know the school systems are so horrible, and you know I'm at that age where I remember before and after Carter had federalized the school system, and mm-hmm. I didn't make that connection in my youth, but as an adult, I look back and going, oh, I recognize the huge difference. You know, I always have, you know, I have friends who are teachers or were teachers or retired because the school system sucked and don't allow good teachers to teach the way they know what is effective. And, you know, they say this all started with don't ask, don't tell. Okay, don't ask, don't tell, or not, excuse me, I'm still on don't ask, don't tell. What No Child Left Behind. No Child Left Behind was a Teddy bill that Bush put through, you know, signed in, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a good bill. But all these issues that these people are complaining about, you know, teaching to the test and stuff like that, that was happening to me back in the 80s. So to say, you know, it's intellectually dishonest to say that No Child Left Behind caused all of this chaos in the public school system, because it was happening back in the 80s when I was in the school, and in the 90s when my son started school.
I see.
So I, you know, teaching to the test and various things like that. So, yeah, that was one of the main reasons why we pulled our son from school, was because of the education system. They were leaving behind my child, and because he was one of the brighter ones. And if you were one of the brighter ones, they would have you take the test to see if you're a gifted child, and then they just give you busy work. And
mm-hmm.
They asked him if he wanted to do it, they asked me to have him tested to be gifted, and I asked him if he wanted to, and he said no. He goes, I already know I'm smart. I don't need a piece of paper to say I am, and I don't want the extra work. I said, fine.
Of course, I don't blame him. That was good. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just
something that I wanted to read, and I'm not quite sure how long it's going to take me to read. And people, please listen to this, because this is really important. So don't get bored with it. It shouldn't take me more than a couple minutes. I received this via email today. I have not checked it out, and I want to make that emphatically clear, because anyone who knows me, who reads my stuff, is well aware of the fact that I always triple and quadruple check anything that I get my hands on. So I'm going to start out by saying I don't know who this was really written by. Supposedly, the gentleman that wrote this was an American Airlines pilot by the name of Captain John Mascalo. Now, whether or not that's really true, I don't know. But regardless of whether or not this was written by an airline pilot, it really needs to be read. And I'm sure I could check it out on Snopes after the show. But I want everybody to hear this. It's very important. I've been trying to say this since 9/11, but you worry me. I wish that you didn't. I wish that when I walk down the streets of this country that I love, that your color and your culture still blended with the beautiful human landscape that we enjoy in this country. But you don't blend in anymore. I notice you, and it worries me. I notice you because I can't help it anymore. People from your homelands, professing to be Muslims, have been attacking and killing my fellow citizens and our friends for more than 20 years now. I don't fully understand their grievances and hate, but I know that nothing can justify the inhumanity of their attacks. On September 11th, Arab Muslims hijacked four jetliners in my country. They cut the throats of women in front of children and brutally stabbed to death others. They took control of those planes and crashed them into buildings, killing thousands of proud fathers, loving sons, wise grandparents, elegant daughters, best friends, favorite coaches, fearless public servants, and children's mothers. The Palestinians celebrated. The Iraqis were overjoyed, as was most of the Arab world. So I notice you now. I don't want to be worried. I don't want to be consumed by the same rage and hate and prejudice that has destroyed the soul of these terrorists. But I need your help. As a rational American trying to protect my country and family in an irrational and unsafe world, I must know how to tell the difference between you, the Arab, and the Muslim terrorist. How do I differentiate between the true Arab Muslim American and the Arab Muslim terrorist in our communities who are attending our schools, enjoying our parks, and living in our communities under the protection of our Constitution while they plot the next attack that will slaughter those same good neighbors and children? The events of September 11th changed the answer. It is not my responsibility to determine which of you embraces our great country with all of its religions, with all of its different citizens, with all of its faults. It is time for every Arab Muslim in this country to determine it for me. I want to know, I demand to know, and I have a right to know whether or not you love America. Do you pledge allegiance to its flag? Do you proudly display it in front of your house or on your car? Do you pray in your many daily prayers that Allah will bless this nation, that He will protect and prosper it? Or do you pray that Allah will destroy it in one of your jihads? Are you thankful for the freedom that only this nation affords, a freedom that was paid for by the blood of hundreds of thousands of patriots who gave their lives for this country? Are you willing to preserve this freedom by also paying the ultimate sacrifice, Do you love America? Is this your commitment? Then I need you to start letting me know about it. Your Muslim leaders in this nation should be flooding the media at this time with the hard facts on your faith and what hard actions you are taking as a community and as a religion to protect the United States of America. Please, no more benign overtures of regret for the death of the innocent, because I worry about who you regard as innocent. No more benign overtures of condemnation for the unprovoked attacks, because I worry about what is unprovoked to you. I am not interested anymore in sympathy. I am only interested in action. What will you do for America, for our great country, at this time of crisis, at this time of war? I want to see Arab Muslims waving the American flag in the streets. I want to hear you chanting, Allah bless America. I want to see young Arab men, Muslims, enlisting in the military. I want to see a commitment of money, time, and emotion to the victims of this butchering and to do to this nation as a whole. The FBI has a watch list of over 400 people they want to talk to regarding the World Trade Center attack. Many of these people live and socialize right now in Muslim communities. You know them. You know where they are. Hand them over to us now. But I have seen little even approaching this sort of action. Instead, I have seen already closed and secretive communities close even tighter. You have disappeared from the streets. You have posted armed security guards at your facilities. You have threatened lawsuits, and you have screamed protection from reprisals. The very few Arab Muslim representatives that have appeared in the media were defensive. They seemed more concerned with making sure that the United States proves who is responsible before taking action. They seem more concerned with protecting their fellow Muslims from violence directed toward them in the United States and abroad than they did with supporting our country and denouncing leaders like Gaddafi, Hussein, Farrakhan, or Arafat. If true teachings of Islam proclaim tolerance and peace and love for all people, then I want chapter and verse from the Quran and statements from popular Muslim leaders to back it up. What good is the teachings of the Quran if they're good and pure and true when your leaders are teaching fanatical interpretations, terrorism, and intolerance? It matters little how good Islam should be if huge numbers of the world's Muslims interpret the teachings of Muhammad incorrectly and adhere to a degenerative form of the religion, a form that has been demonstrated to us over and over again, a form whose structure is built upon foundation of violence, death, and suicide, a form whose members are recruited from the prisons around the world, a form whose members, some as young as 5 years old, are seen day after day, week in and week out, year after year, marching in the streets around the world, burning effigies of our presidents, burning the American flag, shooting weapons into the air, a form whose members convert from a peaceful religion only to take up arms against the great United States of America, the country of their birth, a forum whose rules are so twisted that their traveling members refuse to show their faces at airport security checkpoints in the name of Islam. We will never allow the attacks of September 11th, or any others for that matter, to take away that which is so precious to us, our rights under the greatest constitution in the world. I want to know where every Arab Muslim in this country stands, and I think it is my right and the right of every true citizen of this country to demand it, a right paid for by the blood of thousands of my brothers and sisters who died protecting this very constitution that is protecting you and your family. I am pleading with you to let me know. I want you here as my brother, my neighbor, my friend, as a fellow American. But there can be no gray areas or ambivalence regarding your allegiance, and it is up to you to show me where you stand. Until then, you worry me.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
Amen. Amen. And that's right on, I'll tell you what. He's very good, this guy. You ought to get him on your show.
I would love to find him. I gotta research it and see whether or not this individual that wrote this is really a captain of American Airlines. It wouldn't surprise me. But
yeah, I don't know.
Some
Jim in chat is saying he remembers reading this piece back in 2002. They never learned who the actual author was, but it's a great read.
It's
very articulate. Yeah, he's no schmuck, this guy that wrote this.
I'll tell you what, it really, really brings home a lot of the points that we say week in and week out on this show.
Yeah.
Because once again, I don't care if you're pink with purple polka dots, I don't care if you're a druid, I don't care if you're a Buddhist, and I don't care if you're a Muslim, as long as you adhere to the Constitution of the United States. Plain and simple. And if you can't do that, there's the door. It's an open border. God knows.
Get out.
Get the hell out.
Yeah, no kidding. It's an open border. Oh, shoot. There was some comments up before that, and I'm trying to find, I guess the scroll to, you know, scrolled beyond them. I apologize to people in chat who had some comments earlier. So, but, yeah. And you read it so well. That was very, very well put together. And that comes down to what we've been saying. Seems like forever, Gotti.
It does.
It's only been, what, 6 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm afraid that that what we want to happen is really never going to happen, especially under Obama and his administration.
Under who?
We need somebody really to take the reins and really straighten this country out, you know. And I don't know who the next person is going to be. I got a feeling, you know, there's a lot of things in the closet with Newt Gingrich, but I think Newt would be the best leader we would get. I don't know why. Who do you guys feel?
I know what Obama would say to
there
that.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Summed it up.
I, you know, there are so many people out there, trade, that are talking about, and you get the same political thing, you know, I've got my feelers out, I haven't made a decision yet. Nobody's really thrown their hat in the ring.
Yeah. Who wants to take over after this guy?
Yeah, I like Mike Huckabee. But I don't think after his becoming a talk show host on Fox that he really has any chance. I could be wrong on that. I love
him. I mean, Huckabee, yeah, I know. I don't think he's going to even want it. I don't even think he's going to want it. So, you know, I don't think so.
He's making a lot more money and a lot less headaches by doing a TV show on Fox. That's for sure.
Right. No hassle. Sarah Palin too.
Newt has made some statements that sounded like I wrote them when it comes to Islam and terrorism. And
yeah,
would,
but he's really good at regurgitation.
Yeah.
What's that here?
Newt is very good at regurgitating.
Yes.
What others say.
That
I don't know.
I'll tell you what, I think the only reason I like Newt is I think he could hold up in a good discussion with anybody, you know. I mean, I'd like to get Netanyahu to run for our president. I would like Netanyahu to be our president, but that's impossible. But I think Newt could really hold up against anybody. That's what I like about him. Maybe I'm wrong, but...
There's one person that has been putting out feelers, and he's getting more serious about putting out those feelers, that perks my interest. I've been watching him for a couple years now, but I remember back in the 90s when he took on Clinton and Hillary Care face on and kicked butt and took names. And so because of that, I started watching him a little bit when I could, and then I forgot about him over the years. But then I started watching him again a couple years ago when he made a speech that just resonated so deeply with me. And I'm thinking people need to pay more attention to this guy because he knows what he's talking about.
Who are we
talking? I'm talking about Herman Cain.
Oh, Cain.
Herman Cain, yes, out of Atlanta.
Hotlanta.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with him, but I'm sure.
Check him out.
I will.
Check out Herman Cain. He's very interesting. He's a businessman. At that time, he was the CEO or something like that of some pizza company. I can't remember which now.
Mm-hmm.
And Godfather's Pizza.
Oh, I see.
And there was a big deal about Hillary Care back in the 90s. And I guess Clinton was doing some kind of video teleconferencing type thing. I'm not sure how he was doing it with various businessmen. And he called Clinton to the floor. And, well, he wiped Clinton with the floor. Really? Yeah. So, I mean, it was very interesting to watch him. That's what one of those things I remember way back when, and then I forgot about it. And then I started seeing it again. Of course, it's on YouTube if you want to check it out. But he, he makes some very good points. He's very intelligent. I think right now he does. He's just radio. He's a radio talk show host now.
Is he Jewish? Is he Jewish?
I don't think so. I think he's Christian.
Oh yeah, because Cain. I knew a couple of Cains were Jewish. Gaddy, do you know any Cains?
I know a few. I don't know if Herman Cain is Jewish, though. I'll tell you who the name that I, you know, the guy was just elected to Congress, and I'd love to see him in a year or two, maybe down the road, run for president. And who knows, maybe he will. But
Rubio?
Colonel Alan West.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, I've heard, sure.
I would definitely like to watch him more closely as time goes by. But as he stands right now, I would stand with him, and I would actually hit the pavement for him.
I'll
I would.
About,
I don't typically do stuff like that, but I would hit the pavement for him and
replace,
go door to door for him.
If you want to replace Obama people with another African American, Colonel West is the way to go. He will get the black vote in a heartbeat because, you know, and again, I'm stereotyping, but it's a proven fact. A lot of people voted for Obama because of his color. And I'll tell you what, you'll have the same thing with Alan West. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, keep an eye on him. He's going to Congress this year. He was elected. He's a Tea Party member, and he speaks from his heart. I've never seen that man use a piece of paper, let alone a teleprompter, and his speeches will have you in tears.
No, he's very good. I've seen him. Yeah, I like him, too. He's very good.
That is one person I wouldn't mind seeing him throw his hat in the ring.
I like Jim DeMint a lot, too. What do you think about Jim DeMint? I don't think he's going to run, but I like Jim.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think he's even in the he's not out in the mainstream right now. What's he doing?
Well, he's extremely conservative. He's real good, though. I don't know, really. You know, he's obviously in Congress. But I also like this guy, the Texas governor, but I don't think he's going to run.
Right. Yeah, and then Christie's another one they're already talking about running for president.
Yeah, but he says he doesn't want it. He says he's not ready for it.
Right.
I don't think anybody's going to want 2012. I think they're going to want to maybe wait till 2016, you know, or 2020.
I'll tell you, as much as I adore Sarah Palin, and if she got divorced, I'd marry her tomorrow, but Christie knows. Rishi had to keep me from jumping the barrier when we were at 8.8 because I was about 20 feet from her. And, oh, man, when I saw that she was my height, I was, like, in love.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I don't think she's ready for the presidential thing yet. She's definitely not. She's learning, but she's not presidential material, in my opinion.
I think she's best suited for what she's doing, which is, getting people fired up and educating people, you know, and all that. I think that's her. That's where
her
she's
bag,
best
yeah.
suited.
And I don't I, think you know,
and study. No, I don't think so. And I think studying her, I would say, chances are she is not really interested in that big house, so to speak.
Right.
No.
Because she realizes that, you know, it's actually a very suffocating. It's a very claustrophobic position because you don't have free voice, you don't have free reign, you don't have free choice.
Right, that's true. I don't think she's
And she's kind of a free for all kind of person.
Now I gotta interject here because we got about 10 minutes left. I know that it's a holiday weekend and we're coming up to Christmas, but there's a bunch of people in the chat room. Why haven't we had any phone calls? My gosh, people, it's after 9 o'clock on the East Coast. Phone calls are free. It's 3.
Well, you know what it is, Gaddy? I'll tell you what. I think they're enjoying you so much. Forget about me and you and Reese so much. I'm a bystander. I'm just listening, really, and I'm having fun. So I know how they feel. I'm telling you, they like what they're hearing. Not from me. I mean, I'm not saying very much, but you guys are really doing a great job. No, I mean, I'm just, you know.
They could talk to me. People, it's 347-857-1380. We need a jingle for that phone number. Reese, post that phone number in the chat room, if you will.
I just did. And you know what, Trey? You know, don't sell yourself so short, because everybody has enjoyed your visit with us.
Well, pardon? I enjoyed it, too, because I thought it was very informative. Gaddy and you are always very informative, and I love it. It's great. And, I'm not really I'm not up to speed the last day or two, because usually I'm listening. You know, my girlfriend laughs at me because I'm listening to the radio, talk radio, constantly, and I have Fox News on the television, and I'm listening to both of them simultaneously, one out of one ear, one out of the other, while I'm recording.
You know, I would do that trade, but I'm deaf in one ear and I'm hard of hearing in the other. So.
Oh, I see. Now, my hearing is really good, knock on wood, I've been lucky. But as I'm working, I'm listening at the same time. But today, I was like, because of Christmas and getting Christmas gifts and working on different things and working on recording, I'm doing that duet with Vivi, I'm mixing that and stuff like that. I'm getting crazy here, and I don't know what I'm doing first or second, but I'm enjoying you guys, I'll tell you that. And great show. Great show.
Well, and Trey, you know, and people, I'm a Trey, I so admire Trey, because you bring, we were talking about, Gotti and I were talking about this earlier, how there is a need in, or maybe it was, I was talking to Adrian, there is a need and necessity for balance. So many people get so intense with the stressors of learning about or educating about Islam, Sharia law, and terrorism, and what have you, or even just your basic politics, and that they don't take a moment and realize you need to have a balance to that. You need some levity, you need some music, you need something to lighten that, or you will go insane, and then you're worthless to anybody.
That's true. That's true.
So, and one of the best ways to educate is through music or through humor. As long as it's not, you know, totally out there, but it can be very educational when you put some levity to things, because then people aren't so intense or stressed out that they're not blocking information.
Right.
So the more relaxed you are, the more receptive you are to any information, which is why, I love the idea of the Taqiyya song, because again, it's light, it's got a good tune to it. And
yes,
it teaches you about something
that's an important
lesson
concept.
Behind it is stressful. So when you lighten it with the song, you're more receptive to the information that you're taking on. So this is why it's important to have that balance, or to look for other means if you're having a hard time retaining the information.
Reese.
Or what have you.
Reese.
Uh-huh.
Check on line 3 for me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. While you're checking the caller on line 3, because we do have a caller, I want to give an announcement for everybody to be aware of. Next Thursday, we have got the best of the best, no offense, Trade, but this man, I love this man. I mean, I'm telling you people, if you've ever heard me talk about him, you know, Dr. Waleed Ferez, the author, the doctor, professor, the terrorism analyst for Fox News.
Great, no kidding.
Without a doubt, he is my idol. I owe everything to him as far as my starting to be a writer, because I never, ever considered writing. And he's the one who got me started, and now I'm being published every week in about half a dozen different places. Dr. Waleed Ferez will be our guest next Thursday night, so it'll be in between Christmas and New Year's. I know a lot of people have a lot of things going on, but he just came out with a new book. He's going to be on. I want to promote his new book. And this man, if you think I know anything, I cannot hold a candle to this guy. And we have got Doc on line 3. How you doing, Doc?
Fantastic, guy. Great show this evening.
Well, I appreciate it. But I know you called for a reason. So what was it?
Actually, I just called to wish everybody from Radio Jihad Network a very happy and Merry Christmas. Trade's been fantastic. I love when you call in onto the show. I really appreciate
your work. Thank you so much, Doc. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Just to let everybody know, Monday and Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Eastern, Radio Jihad, Vito Esposito, Alan Kay, and let's not forget, Andy, our resident scholar of Islam. Mama Mia, no Sharia. Wednesday at 4 p.m., Gary Johnson at the Victory Institute, and of course, Gotti here at Thursday nights at 8 o'clock. And soon we're going to have a Friday show as well.
Ooh.
Rock and roll. That's great. That's great.
Doc, you skipped over me on Mondays and Tuesdays on Radio Jihad. I know I haven't been there in a while, but, you know, every once in a while I pop in there with Andy and Vito and Alan.
Absolutely, you do, Gotti, and we greatly appreciate it. I'm, we also have Sundays, or Saturdays, rather, that is scheduled. Hopefully it's going to start shortly after the Christmas holidays, and that's going to be with Usama Dakdok. He's going to be on,
wow.
Not exactly sure, but he's going to be doing 2 hours on Saturday.
That's
going to be a lot of fun.
That is awesome.
And now I'm going to have to retire because I know Usama. Usama and I are dear friends. He's been on my show a couple of times.
Yep.
Wrote an article about him. Usama is
amazing.
In the world, and I am not exaggerating when I say this, one of the few people in the world who has taken the entire Quran in its classical Arabic form and translated it word for word to English. The man is phenomenal.
Yeah, he absolutely is. Matter of fact, he has a conference coming up I didn't know if you were aware of.
Yes, unfortunately I won't be there, but go ahead and plug it.
Sure. He's doing a get-together there. He's titled it The Revealing the Truth About Political Islam, and that's going to be January 5th, 6:45 to 9 o'clock p.m. Inside the seminar. You're going to learn who our enemy is, the foundations of Sharia law, and what the Islamist worldview of mission accomplished is here in the United States of America. It'll also cover topics of why Sharia law is not compatible with the United States Constitution, Islamic apartheid in Mecca and Medina, who are the Muslim Brotherhood and all their ties. And you're absolutely correct. He is one of the only people who has translated the Quran from the classic Arabic to English. And he's going to be covering a whole lot more topics. He's Egyptian-born, fluent in classical and mainstream Arabic, holds a master's degree in missiology, and is one of the small number of people who has translated. He's also the pastor of the Straight Way of Grace Ministries. Now, again, that's on January 5th, 6:45 to 9 p.m., and it's going to be held at the Encounter Church, and that's over here in Orlando. I have a phone number for you. It's 407-858-0351. This is free and open to the public. You can call that phone number to get directions or any other information you may need. But we're very excited about it here.
If you're going to be anywhere in the Orlando area on January 5th, definitely make arrangements to see that. It'll be well worth your while. The man is an encyclopedia of information. I love Usama a great deal. We've got about 1 minute remaining. And there is one thing I wanted to play before we got off the air tonight. So let's remember that we are going to have Dr. Waleed Fares as our guest. I do want to thank Trade. It's always a pleasure to have you on. You're welcome to call in anytime.
Thanks, Gotti. You're most welcome. Okay. You guys are great. Reese,
and,
thank you, Reese.
Well,
Gotti,
you.
Real quick, do you remember his website?
Samadak's website?
Yes, please. I'm sorry.
I believe it's straightwayministries.org, but I could be wrong on that.
Technically,
I think you're
right.
Correct, but I'll double check.
Is that a Christian ministry, Doc? Is that a Christian ministry? What is it?
Yes, it is. He actually got his degree in theology. Now what he does is he actually converts people that are willing to listen. He converts Muslims to Christianity, tries to get them out of Islam. But I want to play this real quick. We've got about 45 seconds remaining, and something normal for Radio Jihad to play at the beginning of their shows and the end of their shows, but I wanted to play it because we were talking about it tonight anyway, and this is John Wayne, so everybody listen up, and we'll be back before we shut down the show.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. Trey, thank you again. Reese, thank you as always. I love you guys.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, too, honey.
Next Thursday, same time, same channel. And right now, we are off the air, but we are still recording. So if you guys want to chat for a while, that's fine.
Well, just a moment. God, can you help me spell his name? Because that wasn't quite, I don't think that was the website.
Usama,
I posted it already. I got the link in there for you, honey.
Oh, did you? Okay. You're so good. Thank you.
Yeah, it's one word, thestraightway.org.
Oh, it's okay. Straightway. That's right. That's right.
Again,
well, listen,
thestraightway.org.
Yeah, for all the people out there.
I don't like to fool around on the air, but I'll tell you what, you know, you guys don't notice, but I'm translating the Quran. After I memorize it, I'm translating it to Latin. Putting the whole thing in Latin.
Awesome.
I'm almost done with it. I'm going to start memorizing it tomorrow. By Christmas, I should have it done. I should have it memorized. So I'm going to be able to recite it, you know, word for word, no problem. So
it's all Greek to me, Trade. So.
Listen, I got to send you a couple of the comedy things we did, Jimmy and I did. We did a thing on Assange. I didn't want to mention these on the air. You know, you're too busy with really serious stuff. But we did a thing on Assange that's very funny, and we did a thing on the guy that yodeled and he interfered with the Muslims. Muslims were praying.
Yes.
We did a thing on that, and it's very, very cute. I'm going to send you those things in case you want to break it up and play a couple of comedic things. They're very short, you know, today in news things.
Trey, how can you call my show serious when I play this?
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Yeah, but no, listen, that's, I tell you what, it's serious that he could talk like that and that he would allow that out. If I was the president, I wouldn't allow stuff like that out. You would not hear that from me, I'll tell you that.
If there's a website where you can pull all these MP3s of Obama from his book, and in the area where he's talking about what he did in high school, some of the lines that come out of his mouth, I can't even mention them now because we are still recording. But, I mean, using the N-word, using the B-word, you know, a comment where he says, you ain't my B-N, you know, and just stuff that he says, it's hysterical because you know it's his voice, and it actually was him reading it from the book.
He says it so well, like he's very comfortable with using that language.
Oh, I'm sure.
In that way.
Yeah.
Well, this is still my favorite for him being in office.
It's getting way too complicated for me.
Way too complicated. The S word there is getting way too complicated for me.
People keep on getting crazy because I keep on saying on Facebook that he just needs a little more time. He just needs more time.
Yeah.
You know?
More time left.
More time.
Listen,
country.
You guys have a great holiday. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I'll talk to you maybe before that. But
Trey, thanks.
I'll pop in.
Buddy.
It was a pleasure. It was my pleasure. It was great, Gaddy. You're a great host. And Reese, you're great, too. And Doc, nice meeting you online.
You too, Trey. It's been an honor.
Thanks a lot. My pleasure, man. And I'll send you some of these comedic things you get a kick out of. We did one where I'm Charlie Rangel. I'm absolutely innocent. I did nothing wrong. My staff, they kind of read the things wrong, and I signed things I shouldn't have signed, but I'm absolutely innocent. I've never done a wrong thing. I've always had the utmost in integrity, and I'm doing the right thing all the time for my constituents, and I'm no problem, and I don't see why they should censure me. There's no reason for them to censure me or let me go. Anyway,
Doc, are you okay there?
Oh yeah, I think it's great.
You're making fun of Charlie Rangel.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Oh, Trey, it's been a joy, man.
All right, man. Listen,
we
have to pass the legislation before we read it and before we find out what's in it.
That's right.
You're right.
Yeah.
Spot on.
Because otherwise, it's complicated.
It's getting way too complicated for me.
I'm telling you.
And when do you hear the yodel thing? Yodel lady, yodel lady, yodel lady. I keep on yodeling.
Yeah, but you know, if we yodel, then we don't have to worry about it because yodeling is offensive to Muslims and then they won't build mosques where we yodel.
Don't you love it?
Well,
yeah, I know.
You know, now, now Gotti there, he planted that seed about almost a year ago now about my whole pig march I've been organizing here, Gotti.
That's the pig march, I like that, yeah.
We just got to get a bunch of potbelly pigs and release them out near that mosque at Ground Zero.
They're not going to build that mosque. You know, those guys down there, they won't even, the workers, the construction guys won't even work on it. They're not going to build that mosque. That's not going to happen. I don't believe it's going to happen. I would make a bet. It's not
well, Andy Sullivan's taken that, you know, taken that little bull from it by the horns, and he's done quite well with it.
Well, he's a nice fella, Andy.
If they open it, I want to open a Southern-style barbecue right next door.
Mm, pulled pork is wonderful.
In the inside the gay bar, the guy
there
from from
Greg,
not anything wrong with that.
As long as they wear their, you know, their you know, hijabs.
There you go. That's my buddy.
Yeah,
my buddy.
That was loud.
That was.
All right. In the words of Lou Monte, I don't know if you heard this, but a guy sang this the other night at the nightclub, and Dominic the Donkey. It's the Christmas Donkey.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So Dominic the Donkey, he goes something, it goes like that or something like that, the donkey. All right, listen, I'm going to run, you guys. Have a great holiday, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank love you, Trey. Bye. Merry Christmas.
Oh, you too. Thank you very much. Have a great Christmas.
I love you.
You're having fun over there, aren't you, Gotti?
All right, see you guys later.
Trey did so awesome.
I'm working on that for you, actually, Gotti, the phone number ad. I actually have several that I'm working on. Two I've already actually recorded, just waiting for the final approval, because every time I get it all recorded and ready to upload it, we get new changes in with confirmation of new shows that have started, so now I got to go do it all over again. Yeah, that's all right. Another week or two, I think, you know, definitely after the first of the year, we'll have a more solid lineup and exact times, because the guys have even convinced me and, not convinced me, but have approved me bringing my Sunday show over.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, for 11 o'clock in the afternoon and stuff. That'll take place after the holidays as well. And I'll take up a half hour in the afternoon, and USAMA will do an hour and a half Sunday evening. So I think that'll work out great.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah, so we're working on that. And you guys, you heard Vance's show, his first show the other night. Did you guys stop in?
Whose show?
Vance.
Yeah, I Gary's.
Yeah, well, I just didn't want to say Gary. He just didn't want to use his real name, but yeah, it's one of Gary's shows.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Well,
yeah,
used
Vance.
The other day.
Yeah, he just had
his show.
He aired his first show Wednesday? No, Wednesday, I think it was.
My regular I put in over 60 hours this week, so I was at work at the time that he was on the air.
Gotcha. Well, give him a listen in the archives, whenever you get a chance, obviously. But, it was received very well. That's what I was trying to say.
I am beyond. I hadn't thought about doing an ad. I should do that because I could record one myself with my bumper music in the background. So that's something I'll have to do.
Okay, actually, that'll work great. And what I need that for? Okay, you can upload it to the switchboard. Absolutely, that'd be great. But what I'm trying to do is I'm actually trying to link. The whole network, so this way it can be played once during everybody's show.
Awesome.
And it gives the whole rundown of the network. You know, Monday, Tuesday, boom. This one, you know, Wednesday, this date and time, this show, you know, far as that goes.
Have everybody do their own ad, and we can just put it together in one MP3.
Well, that's basically what I was trying to do, is like write a script out for it, because we got the one I'm doing, okay, the one I'm doing is actually what we're doing with what they call shared or cross advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I'm putting together is ones I'm sharing with other networks.
Cool.
You know, it's for advertising Radio Jihad on other networks.
Right.
So that's the one I'm putting together. But the one that you have is we can use on our own switchboard.
No, shoot.
Right.
You know, for during our show, during our air and stuff, you know, whatever we're doing on network. So that'll be great. And, yeah, we can link them all together and definitely get together on that. I've also been working with Alan and redoing Radio Jihad's homepage little by little. But I don't know HTML very well, and neither does Alan, so we're kind of shooting from the hip on that one.
What I did is I
cropped and copied some of your banners and made up some new banners and stuff. Haven't been able to upload them or do anything with them because, of course, I'll forward it all to you for approval first. But what I'm trying to do is on the homepage at Radio Jihad, that one little banner that's there for the donation, I'm trying to take that banner and turn it into a flip banner where that ad will show for 15 seconds and then your banner will show up with your information, you know, for 15 seconds, and it'll rotate through all the hosts right there on that one spot.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me? And then when if they click on it, you know, because in the ad I'm advertising as go to RadioJihad.org to learn about all our hosts. And we have your guys' names there now, but no links yet. Well, yeah, actually, there is a couple of links. Your link has always been there, so that's not a problem. But how I'm trying to set it up is if you click on the banner, it automatically directs you to your personal homepage, to your personal page.
Did you hear what happened in the beginning of the show with all the repeats and the feedback and all that?
Yeah, I did. It kept the show kept restarting.
Yeah, what the hell up with that?
It just a BTR glitch. BTR, not yesterday, the day before, late in the evening, so almost probably just over a full 24 hours now, they uploaded a whole new Skype program.
Gotcha.
Oh, so that's what that was about.
Yeah, when they upload the new Skype program for the call-ins, Skype has been going in and out, in and out, and it's affected other parts of the system along the way.
Gotcha.
So, they are upgrading little by little, you know, but they're trying to do it where they don't affect everybody. In other words, all right, let's work on Skype. Once we got this working good, then we'll go to the next bug that's occurring and we'll, you know, try to fix that one. But they're kind of all interfering with each other right now.
Yeah, you're
I think that's what it was.
Because I almost did this.
yeah, it just kept it repeated itself about three or four times. It just the show kept restarting back to the very beginning and would catch up to wherever you were, and then it would start all over again.
Reese, I'm going to edit the copy that I recorded. I'm going to edit the beginning out.
Yeah.
So it's like 4 minutes in, it'll start. But I've got to roll, guys, because I've got to be in early again tomorrow morning. So
yippers.
Can't wait until Christmas is over. You guys have a great time. Merry Christmas to both of you. Doc, thanks again. Reese, I can't thank you enough, sweetie. Couldn't have done the show tonight like any night, but really, with all the research and stuff you pulled together for me, thank you.
Merry Christmas, Scotty. I'm sorry I jumped in there at the end and took over that ad for you real quick, only because I haven't had a chance to upload it yet.
No problem.
Scotty?
Yes.
Alan says to tell you happy Kwanzaa.
Oh, okay.
And Doc, Alan had said Merry Christmas to you. He popped in chat.
He's in chat.
We did. I missed him.
Well, he flew in and flew out because he got home late.
Well, tell him I
okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I love that. And it wasn't loud enough.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
He cracked
Bye-bye.
Me up.
Bye-bye.
I love all these sound effects. Guys, you have a great Christmas and a happy new year. If I don't talk to you before, then hopefully I will next week because Waleed will be on. Reese, I know I'll talk to you. But
of course.
You guys take care. Have a great night. Thanks again. And as soon as I get this edited, Reese, I'll let you know so you can tweet it and stuff. It'll be on my website.
Will do.
All right, sweetie. You guys
fantastic, Scotty.
Take care.
Good night, guys.
Night.
Reese, yeah.